This summer, a group of us read I'm Still Here, Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness by Austin Channing Brown. We met most Tuesdays of July and August to discuss our thoughts on the book. During the months leading up to the summer, as we experienced the powerful fight against racial injustice, we realized that, as white students, it was our responsibility to educate ourselves about systemic racism and the plight that Black, Indigenous, and people of color have to face on a daily basis.
In the book, Brown mentioned a field trip that she went on as a teenager. On the trip, one of her white peers said something that resonated with her. That idea stuck with us as well, because we see it as the reason why we must continue our pursuit. Austin wrote, "Something shifted inside me on this trip, something powerful and unmistakable. Doing nothing was no longer an option for me."
Anger is often looked down upon. It is often used to dismiss women, and especially women of color. It is common for a woman to be criticized for being too angry, for the same reason that a man is deemed passionate. Using the excuse that someone was too angry when they were speaking about injustice is a form of tone policing and an easy way to brush off their main message. I'm not saying that we should let anger take over, control us, and dictate our every word. I'm saying that we need to move past the idea that anger is an inherently negative emotion. I'm saying that we need to recognize that righteous anger is a powerful tool. If we were not angry about injustice in the world, would we all just passively allow it to continue?
There has been a lot to be angry about over these past few months. I personally have struggled with ways to reckon with my anger. As a woman, we are taught to handle our emotions and to not make a scene. Especially when it comes to anger, showing your emotions can be considered disruptive. But by keeping our emotions bottled up inside, the only thing truly being disturbed is our sense of peace. Austin Channing Brown writes, "Anger is not inherently destructive. My anger can be a force for good. My anger can be creative and imaginative, seeing a better world that doesn't yet exist. It can fuel a righteous movement towards justice and freedom." Coming to terms with one's anger in the way that Brown describes is something we should all aspire to. We shouldn't feel the need to shy away from feeling our stronger, more compelling emotions. We should let them guide us to seek change and prosperity in a deeply flawed existence.
Here in this world of injustice and hatred, I sometimes feel that I am living in constant anger. That underneath all the other complex emotions I am feeling, there is always the deep sense that I am angry at the world around me. Austin Channing Brown's book showed me that this anger I feel doesn't always have to be a bad thing. See, anger can be a sign of injustice. When you feel that tight feeling in the pit of your stomach, when something just unsettles you, it isn't a sinful emotion that needs to be repressed. It's a warning. It is the good and God inside of you telling you that something isn't right. When we feel angry, instead of pushing it down or letting it pull us into despair, we can embrace it in a way that is productive. Austin calls this way of using our anger for good, creative anger. Without creative anger, there is no passion. Without creative anger, there is no fuel for change. Next time you feel this kind of anger, acknowledge it and let it drive you. Along with the many other things I learned from Austin, I learned that anger is not the same as hate. Anger can be a symbol of empathy and love.
Often, whether directly or indirectly, we have been taught that hope is a fundamental facet of the fight for social justice. Our generation is told to have hope for the future. We are told to have hope that equality will be the law of the land. Sometimes, or perhaps oftentimes, activists who do not have hope or who do not speak about hope are dismissed as too negative or pessimistic. For example, Ta-Nehisi Coates is a famous author who writes about race, but he doesn't express hope for a better future. In fact, he hates when white folks ask him to offer hope for a better future, one that is devoid of racism. Coates is clear about his stance. He doesn't think that this country, which was built on the backs of enslaved people, on land that was viciously stolen from Indigenous people, will simply get over racism. He recognizes that this country is rooted in racism. But the absence of hope is not an excuse to stop fighting and to give up.
Too often than not, people will look at the flaws in our world and choose to hope that the work of others will correct the injustices they see. Relying on this hope is a privilege, one that cannot go ignored. It is our role as human beings to fight for one another and to stand up against the injustices we witness. Even if there is no discernible change on the horizon, we still must get up every morning and walk out our doors, armed with what we know to be right, and fight for a better future. Austin writes, "This is the shadow of hope, knowing that we may never see the realization of our dreams and yet still showing up. We cannot allow ourselves to become trapped by the idea that we live in a perfect world. Instead, we should be open to seeing what can change to make the lives of every one of us better."
And I'm Still Here, there are many subjects to reflect on, all of which are equally important to focus on, all of which can help shape you into a better person, and all of which can teach you about racism and why it is so very important that we end it. One of them is church, and particularly how Christianity and whiteness are influential to our lives and what we can do in the world right now. Austin Channing Brown writes about how Christianity plays into racism itself and what it means to be Christian when it comes to discrimination and prejudice. She writes, "I am a Christian. My anger is dismissed as a character flaw, showing just how far I have turned from Jesus. Real Christians are nice, kind, forgiving, and anger is none of these things. But this is only one interpretation. Jesus has been angry. Everyone is angry at least once in their life. Also, if we are determining what it means to be a real Christian, let's put it out there that Jesus and God want us to love all people as we would love ourselves. They would not want us to segregate or treat others in this way. We are all people. Christianity should not be used as an excuse to be racist, homophobic, or any other form of discrimination, because when you really think about it, would God ever support this kind of treatment?"
Grappling with anger and hope in a world that has been so utterly desolated by division and discrimination and pain is an ongoing mission that every one of us has embarked upon. We have learned from Austin Channing Brown and our fellow peers about ways we can approach our predicament.
So what now? What does it mean to be an anti-racist Christian in our world right now? How can we leave today with a new drive to go into the world and fight injustice? And what role does our faith play in our path towards a more empathetic existence?
The answers are not simple, and to be honest, we don't have them. Being anti-racist is a lifelong journey, not a finite number of steps that, when completed, removes the responsibility we have as Christians and human beings to cherish and support others, no matter who they are. In order for us to build a more empathetic world, we need to first build more empathetic versions of ourselves. Austin Channing Brown's lessons have helped us to begin this journey.
The fight starts within. The world around us is a reflection of ourselves. By unlearning and relearning, we can change the way we think, hope, and feel, growing into the more empathetic existence that God requires of us. Something shifted inside us on this trip, something powerful and unmistakable. Doing nothing is no longer an option for us.